Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today is Wednesday, November 8th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. There's a lot to talk about, that's for sure. It turns out, in Yonkers specifically, of course, there were elections yesterday, and Mike Spanel declared victory in the race for Yonkers mayor. So he won the Democratic primary with nearly 70% of the vote. And when he ran for office during the election, he actually ended up getting 60% of the vote to his challenger. So his challenger was Republican Councilman Anthony Morante, who was on the Republican line, as well as the Working Families. And also, there was a Working Families Party candidate, Allison Abramson. I never even heard of her. Some of us will show you how wonderful these people who are running for office. I have no idea why they run when they don't reach out to all media. And not just one, but all media. So it's just pathetic. I don't know what these people are intending to do when they don't reach out to the vehicles that are available to them. There's no cost to send out a press notice and mention that you're running for office and blah, 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 and it goes on and on. And to be invited to a broadcast, if there is one, a radio, on television. There's just so many ways to get your name out there. But I really think that at the end of the day, I really wonder what these people are doing. Another thing is Vedad Gashi, he won re-election, which is congratulations to him as well. It looks like people are very, very pleased with the candidates that are already in office. They won re-election, and that's the way it goes. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how all this goes. Yadira Ramos-Herbert, she won re-election, so she's thrilled as well. So there are a lot of winners, that's for sure. And so it goes. Let me just see. I think that's really about it on the local level. Let's move on to some international stuff, which hopefully you'll find of interest. Bear with me a moment. Much more complex than what goes on the local scene. Bear with me a moment. Okay. What I wanted to cover here with you was quite interesting because this is, it was unexpected as far as I was concerned, but you know, it's not like I'm in the loop with regard to this, but the European Commission evidently is recommending the opening of the European Union membership to talks with Ukraine, which is absolutely astounding. I didn't think that would come about. There seemed to be a reluctance, but evidently demeanor has changed and there's a rationale for it. I think the top European Union officials recommended, this was today, that Ukraine be invited to begin membership talks as soon as it meets final conditions, taking Kyiv one step closer to a major strategic goal, even as it struggles to repel Russia's invasion. So the Commission recommends that the European Union Council opens accession negotiations with Ukraine, so said the Brussels-based European Commission. It added that the talks should formally be launched once Kyiv satisfied remaining conditions related to stepping up the fight against corruption, adopting a law on lobbying in line with European Union standards, and strengthening national minority safeguards. The recommendation is an important milestone on Kyiv's road to Western integration and a geopolitical gambit for the European Union as Ukraine has been fighting against a large-scale Russian invasion since February of 2022. So another historic step for the citizens of the European Union regarding their aspirations has been adopted for the 2023 enlargement package, recommending to open negotiations with Ukraine and Moldova to grant candidate status to Georgia and to open accession negotiations with Bosnia and Herzegovina once the necessary degree of compliance is achieved. And they said that completing our union is the natural horizon. So very, very compelling news coming out of Europe. I'm just blown away by all of this. Moldova has progressed steadily on meeting the 9 steps set out in its membership application, including comprehensive reforms on justice, anti-corruption, and public administration. So they recommended the European Union Council open accession negotiations with Moldova. Georgia has taken steps to strengthen engagement with the European Union and increase the pace of reforms in the recent months to address the 12 priorities identified in its membership application. And they recommend that the European Union grants candidate status to Georgia on the understanding that a number of steps are going to be taken. Bosnia and Herzegovina have started to deliver on reforms, but further efforts are needed to adopt rule of law and preserve the constitutional order of the country. And the European Union recommended the opening of accession negotiations once the necessary degree of compliance with the membership takes place. So unbelievable. Europe is really coming to grips with its own past and eclipsing what was to the new reality. And they realize that their adversary has been and always was the Soviet Union. And that's where we're going to right now. Unbelievable. What a breath of fresh air. I never thought in my lifetime this would come about, but evidently the crisis in Ukraine has brought that about. It's just amazing how long it took for the world to recognize that here the aggressor was Russia, and they had no right and still have no right to commandeer any part or control any part of Ukraine. It is not their country, and they have no right to do what they've done. So unbelievable. Well, the bottom line is Georgia belongs in the European Union, Georgia belongs in NATO, and so on and so forth. It is the reality. Same thing with Herzegovina. It is just absolutely mind-boggling. Well, it just is what it is. So we'll see. Okay. You know, it does seem that there'll be other countries that probably will join the fold. And we'll see how long that takes, and we'll see which countries those are to put it all together. But the fact that there can be a bringing about a unity within the European Union is breathtaking. And a change that has been long awaited, even though it seemed like such a concept that would never come about, and yet here it is, which is absolutely amazing. Now let's just look and see what else is going on in the world stage. Bear with me a moment here. I want to move on to some other things with you. I must apologize. Yesterday, we tried to get on the Blog Talk Radio platform. It didn't work. I was hoping against all hope that things would work today, and thank goodness we are on. We're online, and people can hear us. And it's just a thrill, because it just doesn't feel right when we can't reach out to you, that's for sure. Well, let's look at some other things that are going around the world. And this is an analysis by a European Union expert that came about. It simply says we need a very clear target for European Union enlargement. European reform expert Daniela Schwarzer had said, she writes, how can a much bigger European Union function effectively? Will key national interests be overridden for the benefit of collective decision-making? And how should European institutions and budgets adapt to a union of more than 30 members? These are some of the big questions that European leaders are currently mulling over. For more talking Europe, talking Europe host Daniela Schwarzer, the co-rapporteur of a new report entitled Sailing on High Seas, Reforming and Enlarging the European Union for the 21st Century. She's a member of the working group convened in 2023 by the French and German governments on reforming the European Union. So when asked about the European political community, which has just completed its third summit, Schwarzer says, quote, as a reaction to Russia's war in Ukraine, as a reaction to the fact that the European security order is really destabilized, it's very important to have this kind of dialogue in a very informal setting. And there have been some results with regards to policy debates, and particularly in the area of energy. But the European political community is not a waiting room for countries that want to make their way into the European Union. Countries that want to join will ask for membership and then negotiate their accession process. The European political community is really the place where countries can go, don't share fundamental principles that the European Union has put in place, like, for instance, the rule of law. They don't want to create something more political. They just want to be in a dialogue format in a rather loose arrangement where diplomatic conversations can happen, where policymakers meet on the highest level, and that's what it's for. So turning to the European Union candidate countries, we asked Schwarzer if the European Union is sending the wrong signal to candidate countries if it doesn't itself uphold the rule of law in the existing European Union member states. Quote, absolutely, she responds. That's one of the major weaknesses at the moment. The European Union has to make sure it is credible in two regards. One is on the rule of law, human rights, and other very fundamental standards. It must be credible on that, because if it is not, how can you tell candidate countries that they should be complying by those norms? And the other thing that the European Union has to be credible on is its own reform process. It needs to get ready for enlargement. You can't expect candidate countries to push ahead with reforms if they don't believe that they will actually enter the club. So how can the European Union make decisions with 35 or 36 members? Would unanimous voting make it impossible to agree on anything? That risk is indeed very high, Schwarzer had said. I think one important thing to bear in mind is that qualified majority voting is already the standard procedure in many areas where the European Union passes laws. And the question is not to change that at all, but to keep that in place. But already there, Poland and Hungary have issues, and other countries may raise that question as well. I think it is an absolute prerequisite that what we have achieved in terms of joint decision-making, and including qualified majority voting, stays in place. The bigger the European Union gets, and the more it may actually do other things in areas where there is not yet a competence for the European Union, the more important it becomes to have efficient decision-making. So we ask if enlargement is likely to happen by 2030. As European Council President Charles Michel has said, he hopes will be the case. Quote, we have mentioned that date as well in our report, Schwarzer had responded. But we gave the date not for enlargement, but for the European Union to be enlargement ready. And that's our homework. The candidates have to advance with their own preparation, and it's very important to have a very clear target. Right now, the ball is being passed from one side of the field to the other, saying, quote, you're not getting ready, you're not getting ready. So this clear commitment by the European Union to say we will get this done in 7 years is a good and strong signal to the candidate country. We hope that the leaders will send that signal. So those are some of the things that are really fantastic. Now, this is really fascinating as well. It seems that European leaders had met in Granada to discuss migration and enlargement. The European Union's 27 national leaders meet on Friday to look for ways to avoid a new migration crisis and to address a longer-term existential challenge of bringing into their bloc new countries potentially as big and troubled as Ukraine. Italy and Spain have voiced concern over irregular immigration increasing this year to their islands, while Greek waters in June were the site of Europe's deadliest shipwreck in years, one that killed hundreds of migrants. Germany, the preferred destination country for many of the migrants reaching Europe, has introduced border checks, saying they are needed to crack down on smugglers bringing people to its territory. And that decision came after Germany reported a nearly 80% rise in asylum requests so far this year, a concern for the center-left ruling coalition facing a challenge from the far right in local elections in Bavaria. October 8th of this coming year. Maybe in Poland will hold a national election a week later on October 15th. So Warsaw refuses to hold new arrivals from the Middle East and Africa, although Poland has given shelter to several million Ukrainians who fled Russia's invasion. Other Central and Eastern European countries have also put up border controls inside what is normally a zone of open travel, citing the need to crack down on people smugglers and migrants to avoid regular border crossings and arrival procedures. The top migration official in the European Union, home to 450 million people, last week said there had been 250,000 such arrivals so far this year, still far below 2015, when more than a million people made it across the sea, overwhelming the bloc. But the matter is politically sensitive, and anti-immigrant rhetoric and policies are on the rise in some European Union countries ahead of continent-wide European Parliament elections. Well, meeting in Granada in Spain, the 27 will also discuss the strategic path for the European Union after years marred by crises from the COVID pandemic to Russia's war in Ukraine to the 2022 energy crunch, and marked by challenges including climate change and economic rivalry with China. Countries keen to join the bloc include Ukraine, Moldova, and some in the Western Balkans. They all must meet numerous requirements to qualify, meaning accession talks take years. In 2020, Britain became the first ever country to leave the bloc. From economic and economic aid transfers to decision making to maintaining cohesion, European Union leaders will look to what needs to change inside their union to allow for another enlargement. A tussle between Kyiv and Warsaw over Ukrainian grain exports gives a flavor of the challenges related to integrating a large and relatively poor country, let alone one at war. In another example of the difficult trade-offs around bringing Ukraine closer to the bloc, sources told Reuters the European Union executive is considering unlocking billions of euros for Hungary that had been frozen over rule of law concerns in a bid to lift Budapest's vote on more support for Kyiv. Such debates highlight a tough dilemma the European Union faces in trying to bring in new members while deepening existing integration. The future of our aspiring members and their citizens lies within the European Union, end quote, the leaders are due to say, according to their draft joint statement, which was seen by Reuters. So enlargement is a geostrategic investment in peace, security, stability, and prosperity of the European Union, and future member states need to be ready. So that is the situation there. Bear with me a moment. One second here. All right. What I want to do is move on somewhere else. Bear with me a second. Okay. All right, almost there. Bear with me a moment. Okay, let's just see if this works. Bear with me a moment here. Evidently, the Israel-Hamas war rages as outcry grows over the Gaza crisis.